This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Bernstein and Harris.
Hey, Chicago. Bear down.
This is a cupcake, and there are more to come.
I don't think the Bears are decidedly better than either of these two teams.
I do think they're decidedly better than this team. This week they are. I think that. I think they should win this game by 10.
Second down and 6. Williams play fake. Now throws. Wide open. It's DJ Moore, the former Carolina Panther, is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. This will be second and goal. The give is to Johnson. He's in. Touchdown. Dalton, 6 of 7 for only 8 yards in the air so far today. Over the top, it's complete to Tremble. Fumble! Lost it! Bears recover! Knocked loose by Jaquan Brisker.
Kramer shifts the handoff to Swift. And this time he's in.
Williams, Moore, end zone! He's got it! Touchdown!
That was a beautiful ball.
Kramer in at fullback. Johnson lined up behind him. First and goal. It's Johnson, and he is in. Johnson's second touchdown today as Caleb Williams and the Bears defeat Andy Dalton and the Panthers.
Had a great Bears win. Bear now, see y'all in London. We came out with a dub.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I should have said 26. I should have said 26. I just didn't have the courage. I thought 10 sounded like a lot. I thought me saying they should win by 10 showed a level of confidence in a league where so many of these games are decided by one or two or three.
Let's be real, Dan. The ghosts of Indianapolis hang over your head.
A little bit, but not that game. That's a bum slaying is what that is.
Okay.
Go bury a bad team.
Listen. To their credit, the Bears did their job on Sunday to the fullest of any ability we've seen them do it in quite some time.
Hell yeah.
Going back to last season. The question is, can you carry that over across from one continent to another?
I think it's telling. This is a big deal. And the idea of taking the trip that makes everything weird. Right now the Bears are, what, 1.5-point favorites?
Yeah, I think it got stretched up to 2.5.
Okay.
But
yeah, I just think
they open his favorites.
This is a test. This is a test of coaching and culture. And does this travel? It's not necessarily a road game, but the biorhythm thing is real, and European travel is real, and I should say global travel. The idea of trying to reset where you are and what you do to your magnetic fields and all that. I can't explain it all, but I also know it's real, and gamblers will tell you it's real.
Well, the biggest thing here is that they're facing, you know, not a random team here. They're facing a Jaguars team that London is basically their second home. So that's one thing. All those players on the Jaguars, most of them have been through this several times. They know what it is to go across the pond.
Some already have second families there, probably.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying all that. But I think the biggest thing is you've now put yourself in a position to be included in the discussion about who's still trending towards a playoff run, a postseason possibility, if you will. And that's really all you can ask for when you play a team as bad as the Panthers. Don't be bad. Do what you're supposed to do.
You go into the bye 4-2. That means you get rested up. That means
healthy.
You get to bring some boys back from that offensive line. Larry Borum will be ready. Ryan Bates might be ready. And then you've got Washington, Arizona, and New England.
Yeah, those games are not as easy as you would think. Like that's
they're easy, but they're not exactly intimidating.
No, they're not the back half. We know it is waiting for them in the back half. It's playing against the rest of the best division in football, and I can say that with an air of confidence.
I don't think it's a question that they're the best division in football.
Everybody's got a winning record. Nobody's got a loss to a team with a losing record. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tough out here.
He's Marshall Harris. I'm Dan Bernstein. This is the Bernstein and Harris Show, and you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on The Score, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Ray Diaz is our executive producer. Adam Studzinski is our associate producer and sound man. Brandon Fryer helping out, and Connor O'Donnell as well. So however you are joining us, whether on the stream, over the air, or twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score, hello. This dude's t-shirt game is just the best. Every time.
Well, I'm disappointed that this t-shirt is on right now, even though I love the shirt because the A-Team was one of my favorite shows growing up. And obviously, the plan came together on Sunday.
There it is.
Hannibal, I love it when a plan comes together. But also, I could have had a Snuggie on. There was a point game in which we thought, not the bottomless pants, if you will.
Well, I thought I was talked out of the assless pants, and I was going to go with bathrobe.
Okay, bathrobe.
I was ready with bathrobe.
But as I said, it was a comfortable win, but it was not a comfy win.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 40 points was there to be had. But then we saw the same thing that I believe is the biggest problem for the Bears this season that will ultimately be their undoing if they do not make the playoffs.
Which is what?
Penalties. They get down, a chance to score, more touchdowns in the second half. Penalties just blew up their red zone opportunities. So, you know,
They were moving the wrong direction for a while. Yeah, first and goal from the 20 is not great.
Yeah, but like they were able to get down. Like Caleb Williams thought he had a rushing touchdown to go with his passing touchdowns, but penalties exist. Clipping still exists. Who knew?
I hadn't seen it in forever, and I always thought that as a kid, clipping was called all the time.
Because this is a block in the back.
Is that what happened?
If you could see, the rule is if you could see your opponent's back of the jersey, if you see the numbers on the back of the jersey, don't block him. And that got changed from clipping to just block in the back, and then clipping became much, much more specific. That's why you never see it.
To someone near the line or engaged, or if you are on a blind side low,
right,
is clipping.
Right. Still okay. Behind, but lower.
So that's right. So illegal block in the back took away what used to be sort of subsumed under the umbrella of clipping. That makes sense because I guess the call is the call. And did you hear there was one referee that referred to the ball as a basketball yesterday instead of a football? Did you hear that? He forgot which sport he was doing.
Wait, what did he say?
Yeah, there was a referee in an NFL game who obviously is also a basketball referee, as so many of them are. He said something like the basketball hit the boundary. Like, ooh.
That'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah, that'd be very strange.
It was in the Bills-Texans game. Bills Texans, okay. Yeah.
Clay Martin.
It was Clay Martin?
Clay, avid basketball, NBA fan, Clay Martin.
Well, most of these guys do multiple sports. So, I mean, we've seen it all the time where you'd see guys like Gene Steratore was always a Big Ten basketball ref, right? And I think his son as well.
I'm not surprised that that's the case. I can't validate that off the top of my head. No.
I had never seen that before where it happens quite like that. But this is one where if the Bears are a winning team right now, and it's okay. You sense it in the various group chats. I've got the show group chat, and then I've got my grumbling White Sox fan friend group chat. And it's like, oh, the Bears are still terrible. They're going to find a way to lose this game.
Well, but like, I understand why that is the belief.
But when I'm the voice of optimism, like, think about that. That group chat is so pessimistic that I'm the Pollyanna.
It's very telling. Does that tell more about them or you?
I think both, but I'm the Pollyanna of that group. I'm sitting there in front of the TV, like half my face painted or whatever, just like, ah, I'm so bad. Screaming ball and every takeaway. Those are takeaways too. Those were not giveaways.
3-0?
Those were takeaways.
3-0 on the turnover margin. They're setting themselves up through consistent play on defense to be a team that you have to now consider one of the top defenses in football.
I said the entire offseason, this is going to be a top five defense. And I don't know how you're going to do it by yards or points, but they have their issues. That a one-gap defense does have the failures look bad because you get these dominoes hitting each other. One person's out of his gap, and then the next person says, I got to get into his gap because he got pushed out of his. And when you saw on the Chuba Hubbard 36-yard touchdown, it was Tremaine Edmonds. He gets blocked. You get a bad angle from the safety, and that's how it looks. And I do know, and I am aware, that they're going to give up those sometimes, and they're going to give up a zone pass to an open guy in between the layers. But if you're knocking the ball out, doesn't matter. They're just not going to score enough points against you.
Just to your point, scoring defense, the Bears currently fifth, allowing 17 points per contest, only trailing the Chargers, the Broncos, the Steelers, and the Vikings. The Chargers, by the way, giving up 12.5 points per game. I told people at the beginning, Chargers are going to make the playoffs. They're like, nah. I was like, nah, I think Harbaugh, the quarterback, I think they're going to be fine.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think the Bears finally got enough sort of internal validation of the stuff that they've been doing. where we're watching development, and to their credit, they've been transparent about it. And Shane Waldron has answered every question about what's going on with this offense. I know we're going to talk about Caleb in the next segment, but in large part, I was so impressed with Waldron's deployment of the no huddle, sugar huddle, whatever you want to call their speed up game. I know it's fashionable to say, oh, they're running tempo here. Okay, let's run tempo. Whatever it did, kept some bad linebackers on the field and allowed a rookie the autonomy and the control to walk up to the line, diagnose, discuss the protections, figure everything out.
32, 32, fire, man!
I know, here we go.
That was Coleman Shelton.
Coleman Shelton letting you know there's a problem. We need to solve this problem before we do anything else.
That's good center play, though. I've been really hard on him, but
we got fire, man.
We got effing fire, man. That means somebody's coming. We may have to slide the protection and declare a hot receiver because the fire call, as I understand it, usually is indicating more than four are coming.
I think for me, just the offensive line. See, this is the thing about offensive linemen. We don't talk about them unless they're doing something bad. But I want to go ahead and say, with this group of players, whether it's the guys who started the game or the guys that came in, not named Nate Davis, that came into the game, which we can get into if you want to, but the fact that we went the entire first half and there was exactly one penalty called for 5 yards, mm-hmm. and the Bears did not have to play behind the chains because guess what? On the day, there was exactly one sack of Caleb Williams. So if there's no penalties and there's no sacks, guess what, Dan? That means you're moving forward. That means you're moving forward, not backwards. Yeah. And you know what? If the goal is to get the ball in the end zone, going forward is probably the best way to do that.
I like forward. Forward is good because it ultimately leads.
And it doesn't have to be
down the field.
It doesn't have to be 12 yards here, 15 yards there. It can just be like 3 yards, 5 yards, and then a chunk play. And we saw chunk plays too.
And what did we discuss last week about how nice it is? It shouldn't be a luxury to have second and three. It shouldn't be a luxury to have second and two. Because then you think, oh, you know what? Now we can dictate things. Now right. We can show you a formation where our entire playbook is open.
And I was quick to be like, this is terrible what they were doing early in the game because that three and out to start the game, right? I was very much like, here we go again. Y'all really can't get anything on offense. What I didn't know is just how bad the win situation was until we got to
either.
The post-game press conference.
I didn't either. It didn't look bad on TV.
And so they were talking about it, whether you're talking about the extra point, Cairo Santos, and like, you know, maybe that had to do with why they decided to go for two, although they said it was like the situation dictated it by the analytics, whatever. But like, Caleb Williams was very much like, hey, yeah, the wind, I thought I knew what was going on, but like that first pass let us know what it really was. And of course, shout out to Keenan Allen, who can't move as well, but he slaps down the ball. There's no pick six. Because if that game starts with a pick six,
it should have been.
And then Chuba Hubbard does what he does, man, listen. I wouldn't even think about a Snuggie. I would have been thinking very much different thoughts about here comes the red rifle.
Your fear of him is eventually going to subside, I promise. Let's hear Caleb Williams talk about the wind situation.
The wind today was weird because at certain times it was blowing that way, but the opposite side was this way. So multiple times after when we had TV timeouts or anything like that, I would spray the water bottle to figure out how aggressive the wind was and things like that. So, it definitely affected. Like the first pass I threw, as soon as I was throwing it, I could feel the gust of wind, and it just kind of took the ball when Keenan ran the out or the speed out. And Keenan did a good job kind of getting his hand in the way and batting it down because it ended up being behind him. And it was different, things like that. But I think cutting through the wind and things like that, I don't think I've had too many issues of dealing with that, but it was definitely a factor of understanding the wind and things like that.
Calling that a speed out when Keenan Allen is running it is generous.
You really on Keenan Allen and his lack of young 20-year-old speed? Is that where we're at?
Doesn't look explosive right now.
He doesn't have to be.
Okay.
He has to be a target that is accessible for his rookie quarterback to get the play that you need, like the he had the one, I think it was third and 13. It ended up being a pickup of 11. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with it, though, because I was like, I like that they what they tried to do there. And you hey, here's one thing I know. They don't have to get a first down every drive. Sometimes if you don't have to force it, there's a guy named Tory Taylor. Let him do his job.
Live to fight another day. That's what we were learning from Mark Sanchez when he told us last week that that understanding and that awareness is growth. But against this team, just step on their neck, and I'm glad they did. I also want to mention, too, when you say about the offensive line,
okay,
the fact that we didn't talk about them and didn't hear about them is a good sign. I want to give you a name you didn't hear yesterday who might be the best player on the Bears.
Okay.
Jalen Damn Johnson takes away a half of the
field.
It's
so funny you said because
dude is unbelievable.
So it was like middle of the third quarter, right? And they're like passing the ball, but I notice every time they pass the ball, number one is nowhere to be seen on any. Like he's just not even in the picture, and I'm like, oh, they really just have no itch to like We're not doing it. And so when you have guys like Jaquan Brisker and these other guys creating plays, forcing fumbles, it's like, bruh, soon enough, this defense, I love it. I love a good defense, and I love a playmaking defense, and everything that Matt Eberflus said at his introductory press conference years and years ago about the hits principle and about taking away the football, it was slow to happen, right? But since the back half of last season, and you can argue that the quarterbacks they have faced in those games have been mediocre at most.
Oh, they faced a ton of mediocre quarterbacks, and that's exactly what Andy Dalton is right now. But Jalen Johnson is just locking down his assignment.
So that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested, again, in this schedule that builds the way it does. Now Caleb Williams has a little more confidence. You're going up against a Jaguars team that now has its first win of the season, looking for some momentum, trying to find its way back to 500 somehow, some way. And Trevor Lawrence, he hasn't been great, but he is capable of doing things. There's a reason he was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft as well.
So is Bryce Young. And he came in as the white flag.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I guess you got us. Here's Bryce Young.
When Bryce Young is your answer for Tyson Bagent, that tells you the state of the game and where we are.
An undrafted free agent is the victory cigar, and their white flag is a number one overall pick 2 years ago. It's incredible.
Poor Tyson Bagent taking those negative yards on those kneel downs.
Hey, that's a game played in the NFL.
I would like him to move forward as well.
I'm just playing.
I know what it is.
Let's talk about Caleb Williams' performance in detail and what it meant on his latest best ever NFL game. When we come back, Bernstein and Harris on a Football Monday on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Second down and 6. Williams play fake. Now throws wide open. It's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. Second down and 8. Williams. Moore. End zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That's what quarterbacking looks like.
And sounds like.
And you go through that play, and he looks right, and he looks left, and he gives the safety a little bit of enough of an okey-doke, and then he's got his guy, and he put it where only his guy could get it. And you think, well, we don't see a whole hell of a lot of that when we watch Bears football. But that, and especially near the end of the half, to push it, it's like, oh, it's like an actual NFL team. Here in Chicago, right in front of us.
So there's one more game on the NFL slate coming up tonight, right? But through Sunday, Caleb Williams has the highest total QBR in week 5 at 83.8. And like that's just it's just one little stat. It's one, you know, whether you're a total QBR guy, the ESPN stat, or whether you're an old school quarterback rating guy, which I still don't understand.
Passer efficiency rating.
Yeah. I still don't fully understand that. I've looked at it, and I'm a math guy, and I'm just like, how did they come up with this, though, as the thing? And
it's a crazy formula. Have you ever looked at the formula?
No, I have, and I'm just like, I just don't understand why this is the metric that we've been going by until they invented. I don't know how old total QBR is.
QBR gives you a lot more credit for your legs.
Okay.
A lot more.
Okay, and he used his legs a couple times. Okay, so just to say that, like, the rookie quarterback in his fifth NFL game, performed possibly better, depending on how you look at it, than any other quarterback in the league. Like, the Bears scored 36 points. Only three other teams scored more than their 36 points, and two of those teams were in an overtime thriller, the Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals game.
I like the fact that he went 20 of 29, 304 yards, two touchdowns.
How many interceptions, Dan? I didn't catch that.
Zero interceptions, okay. Zero turnovers in a win. He was not eating up yards while behind, where they were allowing the middle of the field. He was not playing against just shell defenses. Playing against a bad defense.
Yes.
Make no mistake.
Let's not ever pretend like the Panthers defense and what they put out on the field. And you mentioned it earlier. Going up against a base defense and just keeping them on the field when you know you've got backup linebackers out there.
But the ability for a rookie to do that in the operation, for that level of trust in a child to say, you get us in and out of the huddle, get us up to the line, you see what you see. Sometimes you need a little help from the center screaming at you, and that's okay. That's part of the process.
Fire, man!
He said, I got it. I got it. Thank you. Thanks, Coleman. I got it. And it was fine. But for Shane Waldron to allow a rookie to direct that in the way that he did, builds trust.
Okay, let's go back to after three games played, on a scale from 1 to 10, what was your confidence level in Shane Waldron?
3.
Okay, so it was a 3. Now after 5 games played, including what we've seen the last 2 weeks, what is your, as you've seen things kind of develop and the growth process of the offense, what is your level of confidence now in Shane Waldron?
5.
So middle of the road.
Hmm?
Okay. I don't know
I think that evinces improvement.
Okay. That it is improvement. It's not stark improvement, but hey, to get to middle of the road it's not bad. You're not costing anyone games. I have been very impressed with not just Shane Waldron, but you mentioned the transparency. And what I love about transparency is when you have the transparency that they've shown us with Caleb Williams' development, with the play calling, all the things that you're ultimately setting the context for a rookie quarterback, now you can kind of follow along in a better way than you could if they were being mum's the word, tight-lipped about everything. I think everything makes more natural sense as a progression for this team and this quarterback specifically.
It's a confidence builder, not just internally, but externally.
Right.
When we heard Shane Waldron own up to his mistakes, and apparently, as we were told, he went in front of the team after the Indianapolis game and said, this was on me, this was on me, this was on me. And that starts to build trust as well. The fact that they knew what was likely to work, that they could protect. The difference, when you hold the pass rush at bay, as they did, and it wasn't much of a pass rush, but when you are able to stand back there with a little bit of confidence, you're not running for your life. And he is damn good at running for his life.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I will say that. He's damn good at it.
There was pressure that would have gotten to him, except for he's such a great scrambler to find the angle he wants to make the throw that I don't really feel like running, so I'm going to just give my guy a chance to get open.
You know, it was one of my favorite throws that he made.
The sidearm John?
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
Yeah, the sidearm John was beautiful.
That was fourth quarter. They started their own 20, and it was a sidearm screen to Cole Kmet. And that adjustment and the ease with which he was able to do that is the higher level aspect of the screen game that a lot of people don't understand. And that usually the limiting factor in your screen game is the quarterback's ability to withstand the rush that he knows is going to be there, where the arms are, where his feet are, and building in enough time and space. And it starts everything out when you can trust him to do that.
And, you know, they said on the broadcast too, apparently he practices those sidearm throws like every day. He throws before practice like 50 sidearm throws or something like that. So it's like a deliberate practicing thing that he does to be able to do this.
Yeah, they called it Mahomes-esque at one point. And I think the thing is, like, the more things you could do with your arm, the better and the less likely you're going to be in a bad situation. Because as we all know, on a screen pass, it's all for naught if somebody can bat down the pass. Like, you how frustrating is it for a quarterback who sees his guy now free because the guys have come back like they're supposed to, and you're like, if I complete it, I know it's at least 15 yards.
And he's got to sell it. Yeah, and you can't give away the game too early. The linemen have to sell it. Oh, you beat me. And then they pin their ears back. We got you now. Ha, ha, ha. No, you don't. So there's a lot of acting that's going on. So let's hear what Caleb Williams had to say, because I do think that the offense has coaching points here. They've got aspects of where they still need to work. Here's what Caleb Williams said where they have to improve.
To be in this spot, 3-2, you get a win here. What's the feeling for you as you guys kind of build forward?
Yeah, we definitely the games even that we lost, we were right there. Most of them were just small details throughout the game that we were missing. And I think after those losses, and even after, you know, this week and the week before, these wins, us understanding, the leaders and things like that, understanding, we got a lot of room to get better. We got a lot of things that we need to fix. Like this week, I think it was Thursday, we didn't have our best practice offensively. The next day, leaders met kind of a little bit walking off the field on the offensive side and said we need to be better tomorrow. We came back the next day locked in and focused and obviously understanding the situation and us just, pushing each other for that next day. And it led into the game, I think. Like I always talk about, the personality and things like that of the team is going to continue to grow. But, we're excited. We understand we got to keep growing and keep progressing. But definitely excited about being 3-2.
Good to hear. Good to hear it. While we're throwing bouquets at Shane Waldron instead of brickbats.
Wow. I was thinking tomatoes, but if that's what you want to do.
I think that's the old Gary Deeb reference, an old media critic in Chicago, bouquets and brickbats. That I love the fact that after seeing where DeAndre Swift was struggling, they've found a pressure release for him. And I want to ask about this, because I think I see something that's not right, but maybe Emma or Grody can ask Waldron about this or ask DeAndre Swift about it. What we were criticizing about his game early in the season was an apparent lack of vision. He was getting the ball in the backfield and seeing an entire defense and then having to figure out where to go. What they've used is the draw play. Similar to a screen, where you buy the time, you wait for the penetration of that front four, and then you hand the ball off. And what I think it's doing for DeAndre Swift is giving him 7 defenders to read rather than 11. And to have that space, to have him say, here's the ball, they're already past you, now you have a little bit more room. I don't know if it can work every time. They may need to find something off of that, find a counter. Once teams realize what's going on and say, look, we're just going to contain and we're not going to go straight through every gap because when he's in the backfield. But I love that adjustment to say, we'll wait for them to get by you. Now here's the ball. Now there's fewer opposing jerseys in front of you for which you're going to form a decision.
It sounds good in giving him a starting point, right? Like give him a little bit of a head start. I don't think it's sustainable because everyone makes adjustments. So we'll see if that can translate into just better vision overall.
And I don't know that they'd ever say that publicly. I don't know that they would ever impugn the vision of an expensive veteran, successful free agent running back. But I think I'm allowed to notice it if that was a problem before.
I just love him in the passing game. Like, that's where I love him. Like, one of the people on the Twitch said, they're not even a good offensive line, but they're the best offensive line we've had in years. And like that kind of gives you like just what the barometer is, And if that's the case, they're doing pretty well against a bad team in the Carolina Panthers. I need to see how it is against a sub-average team in the Jacksonville Jaguars and so on and so forth. Then it's the NFC East leading Washington Commanders, and then it's a defensive-minded team in the New England Patriots.
Well, so, Arizona. Don't forget Arizona in there.
I'm sorry. Arizona and Marvin Harrison Jr. and all the problems that they create. And
yeah, I Marvin
New
Harris.
England might be going to the rookie soon. I saw that this morning.
Drake May?
Oh, yeah. Drake May?
Could be happening soon.
Bring it. I also think that Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't seen Jalen Johnson yet. Good luck.
That's the thing that I really like about having a guy like Jalen Johnson. Good. Team comes in with a great receiver, be like, okay, good luck.
Good luck. You have a long day against that man. He is as good a corner as I've seen in Chicago in years.
I have to look at the pass catching totals, if you will.
Yeah, it's not even really in the numbers.
Like,
you don't even look over
no,
there.
No, no, no. I told you when I was watching the game, I was like, where's number? I didn't see him.
You know, Charles Tillman is a borderline Hall of Famer. And Tim Jennings had that one incredible year. He had a bunch, you know, 11 picks or whatever it was. And every once in a while, but you're starting to talk about, you know, Donnell Wolford, Peanut. Jalen Johnson is fantastic at his job. He's an elite corner. And you never hear his name called because he's erased half the field.
You know what's lovely about it? This time last year, he was just trying to prove he should get paid. And people were still like, he's good, but I don't know how good he is. And now all of a sudden, it's become a different... The best thing that ever happened was him getting left off, what was it, the top 100? Like, that's the best thing that ever happened. He took that so personal. I was like...
You know what else he should take personal? And this is a stupid thing, I get that. But his rating in Madden is only 89 overall, which I think is criminal. If he should be at least a 95 overall.
How often do they do the updates?
They do them every week, I believe, during the season, maybe every other week. So hopefully he's getting a boost sometime. But the thing is, because he never makes the, quote, flashy plays.
Exactly. Well, he can't make the play because the ball's never thrown
my
way.
So he's somehow overrated or underrated.
Right, because his guy's not open. His guy's covered. And the quarterback's like, covered. You're not going to get to make a splashy play when the quarterback doesn't even want to look over there.
And then when they do throw at him, he picks it off.
Well, see?
He's got two of those. So they have thrown at him.
Or when
he's
they like do those
passes defensed.
When they run a jet sweep or a quick screen to his side, he's immediately like, oh, no, sit down. Mm-hmm. You're
he's
not going
been
anywhere.
Hitting too. That's the other thing. He'll hit you too.
If he keeps this up, he is going to be an all-timer of a Bears corner.
PFF gave him a 92, if you just curious. I'm just, like I said, none of these metrics, to me anyway, are end-all, be-all, but it's nice to have just like a little nugget. Like, this is saying he's better than the average player.
Oh, the next-gen stuff should come out either later today or tomorrow, and I'd be really interested to see where they have
okay,
him.
Okay, we'll bookmark that.
When we come back, let's take a call or two. 312-644-6767. Your Bears thoughts on the score on a Football Monday, presented by Plumbers 911 and presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. That's next.
Bernstein and Harris.
Really excited for you and Marshall together.
Middays 10 till 2.
Love Marshall, love his work, man, so I'm excited for that pairing.
Third down and 12. Dalton, 6 of 7 for only 8 yards in the air so far today. Over the top, it's complete to Tremble.
Fumble!
Lost it! Bears recovered! Knocked loose by Jaquan Brisker, and then recovered by Dexter.
Kenny, that was a big league hit. Jaquan Brisker, bam, puts it right on Tommy Tremble. Tommy Tremble is still down. He lets go of that ball immediately. And Jaquan Brisker, one of those physical safeties, comes from Penn State. We were just talking about them. James Franklin coaching him up, and he's now playing for the Bears, doing a great job.
How about Jaron Dexter, too?
Beautiful. I just want you to know that's my favorite girl, you know? Jervon's a lot of people's favorite lineman, the way he's been playing. On the interior,
my guy.
Locked
my guy.
Down. Studs, how long have you been a Jervon Dexter?
Since they drafted him.
Okay.
Literally.
Okay. My bad.
Like,
I just wanted to know the origin story. I wasn't here for the origin story, so.
Loved the pick. Was on it all last year. Say this guy's going to be a stud, and here we are.
Meanwhile, I'm clicking around here looking for see if I want to do a full English on Sunday morning.
Yeah, like I might go out to watch this game. It's an 8:30 kickoff, and just take my laptop with me because I want to be able to hear it, obviously, and just earbuds and just enjoy breakfast somewhere.
I want eggs.
Taking all
marathon,
suggestions.
Marathon morning too. Don't forget.
Oh, that's right.
That's bad because I'm stuck.
Well,
I'm in Printer's Row, and that's gonna be.
You can walk somewhere probably, but just like eggs, bangers.
Oh yeah, if you're downtown, you're just kind of stuck.
Black pudding, white pudding, rashers. I think the Irish do the mushrooms and the English do only the tomato.
I was tomato sounds right. Also, baked beans is a thing.
Yes, baked beans usually part of it too. Because the full Irish, I've had the full Irish in Dublin at the Shelburne. I've had it in Galway, and the full Irish is great. And one time we ordered too many breakfasts, and for Beth and me, they brought us three full Irish breakfasts. So I ate half of another one, and I didn't eat the rest of the day. But I mean,
I'm about to say
it was a lot of food, but I
cram it up.
Robert in Naperville, you are on the Score on a Football Monday.
Morning. First, congrats on a fantastic first week of the new show. Love your guys' rapport and can't wait to hear what week two has in store for us listeners.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Sure. So I think you both summed up my thoughts on this particular game perfectly in previous segments. So if I may, a broader point about this whole Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams narrative that's been brewing for a few weeks now. I know it's giving Bears fans agita. I know because it gives me agita, and it gave me agita the first week it came about, and it's okay. The thing to remember is the goodness or badness of Caleb Williams is not contingent on or exclusive to the goodness or badness of Jaden Daniels. Not only is it okay for both of them to be great, as fans of the sport, you should be praying for both of them to be great. Do you know what I wouldn't give to hear the team and QB that I root for become either half of a potential Brady versus Manning of the NFC comparison? Oh, no, but I want Caleb Williams to not only take the North and never give it back, I want him to take the rest of the NFC and never give it back either. I don't want any other quarterbacks to be good. You want boring football? Come on now. No, we don't. We don't because Christmas every day isn't good for us. What we should all want is to someday, when we're all old and gray and sitting in snuggies and pants of our own that have the asses blown out of them, look back and say, man, I was there for the Williams-Daniels race, and I saw me some wild, wild football. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. From your mouth to the ears of the football gods.
That was, you know what? And he's right about, you know, if you don't have struggles, you're not going to appreciate the good times. And I fall in line with what he's saying there, Dan. But, like, man, when the struggles be struggling, you went off the bus.
But it's not his point about success being a non-zero sum.
Right.
It's okay for other people to also be good, but the idea of trying to make someone else's success diminish your own is just self-defeating.
I like to blow out other people's candles so my light shines brighter.
See, that's
the attitude. I don't have that attitude. I'm just saying a lot of people in this world have that attitude about their sports teams and themselves.
They're called White Sox fans. It's okay.
Yo, chill. I have never, as a lifelong White Sox fan, I have never hated on any other team like the Cubs or anybody. I grew up watching the Cubs. My best days, follow me on this. If I can get leadoff man in a Cubs afternoon game, going into, like, what was it, the 6:40 start of a Braves game, and then the White Sox are on late night, I'm good. That's a Gucci day.
We're going to get to great baseball broadcast days, because yesterday started out as one, and then somebody else decided to come in and blow out everybody's birthday candles yesterday, the way you described it.
Yeah, he is definitely a birthday candle blower outer.
I can't stand that dude. So we are going to get to him. But first, it wouldn't be a Football Monday without Frank in Oak Park on the Score.
Hey, guys, what a wonderful day it was to go out and attend a Bears game like I did. The weather was perfect. And before I even left the house, I see that Vladimir Putin's favorite QB, Aaron Rodgers, was having a miserable day against the Vikes in London. When I get into my seat in the north end zone, there was the only blemish on a great defensive effort. That big TD run by Chubert Hubbard was against several backups on the defensive line. I wonder how the front seven rotation looks if, when Zach Pickens gets healthy. Otherwise, it was the kind of crushing of a bad opponent you'd expect by this squad. Dexter had another sack. That pick from Byard showed superhuman ball skills. Too many great performances for the space here. On offense, even from my high-end zone end zone perch, it was hard to miss the great control Williams had over the whole offensive operation. There were many timely audibles. The checks with the receivers had a psychic quality. The first TD pass seemed to be going nowhere until Moore magically appeared moving left to right. The second DJ Stokes score was the kind of pass the team anticipated when it spent 2 years positioning itself to take Caleb with the first pick in the draft. Next week, it's off to London for a road game against a team you should be able to move on with your offense. Is this where the musical chairs on the interior offensive line blows up in your face? Can the coaches in front office manage the biorhythm challenges of a six-hour time zone shift? We'll see.
Thanks, as always, Frank.
Listen, what I love about the calls.
I think they can handle it.
I just love the calls. Like they put things in perspective. It's a varied perspective, right? Everybody has it. Like, you have your thoughts. I have my thoughts. We've got Studs. We've got Ray. They've got their thoughts. Mm-hmm. We'll have Anthony Heron on. He's going to have his thoughts. But, like, I just like the thoughts of a man who literally went down to the game, sat upper end zone, and just took it all in. And, like, if you went to that game and you have season tickets for 8 straight games now, you've been
going
to Bears games.
Getting wins.
And they've been getting dubs. And the next natural step for this team is to find a way to win away from Soldier. You don't have to do it in enemy territory. It's a neutral game. It's still technically a Bears home game. But just find a way to win away from Soldier Field. And then the next step after that, find a way to win in opposing territory. What is it, the phrase you
plus
hate?
Territory. I don't
plus territory. That's what it is.
And I don't like plus territory. You are in Buccaneers territory.
Okay.
You are in Packers territory.
Yeah,
you
so
are,
it'd be Commanders territory.
Yes, you are stepping onto their land and taking it from them and making them like it.
So the bottom line is the natural progression of the schedule and what it could allow if you just handle your business.
Whew. Okay. You mentioned Anthony Heron, and indeed, he is coming up next here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And you're right about the going to the game. And if you have season tickets, I didn't really understand football until our seats changed when they redid the north end zone and they redid a bunch of things. We used to be on about the 37-yard line, about 2/3 of the way up. They're great seats. And then they chose when they reconfigured everything, we instead got north end zone seats. And all of a sudden, you could see football.
Because it's right there in front of you going back and forth, up and down.
You could see line play.
Yeah.
You could actually see passing lanes.
This is why when I go to hockey games, I want to be up top.
My corner. 200-level first row corner is my favorite spot for a hockey game.
I'm picturing that. I've sat all over the
place.
Love
the corner when you could actually watch the line changes and watch the geometry.
I don't like being down low. I do not.
No, you can't see anything.
I can't. I'm good with that for basketball because it's a different depth being played. But for hockey, the way it moves, I need to be on top of it.
Mm-hmm. If you ever go to David Hochberg's suite, he's got one of the top suites where you're really seeing down. Like, if you want to diagram stuff and see
that's the view you're getting,
neutral zone trap or left wing lock or whatever they're doing. His space up there is really, really cool. So, David, anytime you want to have the show out there, we're here for you. Anthony Heron is next on Bernstein and Harris on The Score.